Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
But you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, exit and fleeing by the guy that orchestrated all of it. You know, the NBA's discussion with Jonte. It's a lot to chew on there.
Not as fascinating as the story of Bison Dele.
That's true. That's true. And we don't have a movie on that one.
We have like documentaries.
Oh, do we have a documentary?
But I don't.
This think is his brother killed him.
Remember
right?
that? And they were out on a boat.
Yes. Yes.
We could not believe it. This guy that played for the Chicago Bulls, I think one time was named, was it Brian Williams? He changed his name. Remember
yes.
Bison Dele?
Yes.
But his brother ends up being the killer.
Yes.
And committed suicide down in, like, Mexico or something.
After he got away. I just remember the boat and him not coming back.
Craziest NBA story ever, probably.
Yeah.
One of them.
That's definitely up there.
Well, this dude had made some money.
That's definitely brother. Up there.
I want to say, was he on some of those Bulls championship teams? I think he might have been Brian Williams then. But then went on.
He changed his name to Bison Dele?
I think so. Changed his name to Bison Dele. Something like that. Do you remember that story, Brad? No?
I'm not making this up.
I think I'm pretty sure he was Williams and then changed his name to Bison Dele. Either way, he was lured into the situation by his brother.
Wow.
And then the brother killed him and his girlfriend.
Oh, my goodness.
And assumed his identity.
Yeah, he was born Brian Williams.
He then assumed the identity of his brother. He then
That's
assumed
crazy.
The identity of his brother.
Is that his brother phoning you at the moment?
Yeah, he's calling. He's coming. He's got receipts.
I think it was heard from the library out in Vegas.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. No, that was Elon calling about the news. Sorry.
Yeah, it's...
Again, I got way off, but now you fascinated me with this Jonte.
This Porter story is bananas.
Some of these
it is like going to be a 30 for 30, the reverse, though, not a positive ending.
Yeah, I mean...
Wow.
His career's over, and, you know, he's probably going to go to jail.
Jeez.
I mean, prison.
And started up a radio bit for y'all, too.
You would think, yeah. I mean, I guess there's only one thing that came out of it in a positive way, which is our listeners fading you.
Yeah. And I will say, we did discover, related to this story, sort of, this dude who got thrown out from the Pirates and MLB in gambling. This is a story from the week, by the way. He got thrown out. Like, they're making an example of him. Worse gambler than Brad Carson. 4%, 5% hit rate.
Yes. Now, he was playing parlays, so there is going to be a higher hold on that. But
4 or 5%, John, I mean, you're the expert at this. I think I might be better than this cat.
Again, I think what we need to do is have everybody come together, and we need to have, like, a bet off.
Who's
between
the worst?
You and what's my man's name?
Yeah. Porter or
the
frigging guy from the Pirates. Yeah, I gotta look this up.
I don't know his name.
Pirates.
Let's get him. Let's get
gambler.
Both of you guys in here together. Right.
This is Marcano.
All right,
me and Marcano.
Shohei's interpreter in on this too. He needs some help.
Yeah.
Shohei's his translator.
I mean, you are on the Mount Rushmore of
awful, awful gamble.
Hey, at least I'm not banned for a lifetime from the NBA MLB for my piss poor gambling.
Your gambling is completely straightforward and sucks. Out there in the open. There's no shadowy things about
integrity
it.
Integrity picks.
The problem with this week off between...
All tracked.
As bad as I've been and as successful as the bit has been for y'all, and while you were gone, it was timely for Jason and I, the reality is the week between this and the finals has changed me back to another opinion on what I'm going to bet tomorrow in Fade Brad. Like, because I've went from my initial thought to this, and then you listen to a week of radio and you're like, well, son of a gun, Porzingis is playing. Son of a gun, longest odds since 2011 when the Dallas Mavericks last did this. Maybe I need to go the opposite way of what I was thinking in my bet Thursday.
Yeah.
Too much time.
No, I think it's just fine. I think we are very comfortable with it, whatever the decision is
Boston
from you.
Boston fans may be uncomfortable tomorrow when they hear Fade Brad.
Hey, the reality is the more you go back and forth, the stronger that pick becomes.
It's very, very floppy. It's a very floppy sort of – it's very liquid. It's not good, John.
We look forward to the return tomorrow. Will you have bonus picks for
I'll
us?
I'll have a bonus pick. You know, they'll probably have a low number on Porzingis, like a points total or something that I might look at, you know, because this is his first time back. That is enticing because I haven't seen the number for him. I'm just throwing, again, spitballing, not much research.
Yeah, love it.
But they'll probably set a point total of like 8 or 9 points for him. I might bet like something on that.
Okay, well, I'm looking forward to it. That'll be tomorrow. Anyway, that's the latest on...
The Gambler.
Yeah, look, there's a lot going on, and there will probably continue to be a lot going on.
There's
going to
be more of these, though, right? I think that's where it's kind of wrapping a bow around it. There's going to be a lot of these guys thrown out of the league. They clearly were protecting Shohei.
Maybe. I mean, I can't say no. I can't, you know, I mean, there's a market if you're a fringe guy like Jonte, where you can sort of, you know, manipulate this and you can control, you know, I can't say never. I won't say never. So, anyway, Jason's got to take this. We'll take a break, come back with a rundown with some
bookie
news in Memphis. Jason and John, ID John FM, ESPN. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. We got some news on a commitment to Memphis. Oh, yeah. Let's get it.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Elon Musk. Has committed to Memphis. He becomes Penny Hardaway's latest transfer. Obviously coming in with quite a profile. NIL unnecessary here. That is not the purpose. You know, he just wants to invest in Memphis. No, he is coming to Memphis, though. We were talking about this a little bit yesterday. And we like, you know, we still do like to, even though Jason does not live in Memphis or pay Memphis taxes anymore, we still do care about what happens in the city. And Elon Musk is bringing XAI, a gigafactory of compute.
I don't understand what you just said.
Is this housing the mainframe for his AI technology, basically?
So the AI startup is called XAI, right?
Holy crap, this is big.
I don't know if this is connected to the app X, but it's XAI, and he is building an AI supercomputer in Memphis. This was announced today. When completed, it could be worth billions of dollars and be one of the most advanced computing facilities in the world. Wow. I mean, that's kind of nuts. It will be at the former Electrolux site, according to the Daily Memphian. It will have thousands of advanced semiconductors needed for artificial intelligence computing, and it would train Grok. Grok is the XAI bot. So on Twitter, you know, you have Grok. It would train Grok. And the chips and the other equipment involved could make the facility, again, worth billions of dollars. Paul Young said, quote, "This is the next generation of innovation. It shows that we are leaning into tech, and I think that companies across the country and across the world will begin to take notice." So it's going to get started in a matter of weeks. I mean, this kind of came out of nowhere, right? I mean, we weren't really hearing a whole lot about Elon Musk coming to Memphis.
Wow.
I'm interested to see like what the you know, fallout is. Is there going to be, is it, how many jobs will it bring, if any? I don't, maybe it doesn't bring any jobs because it's AI. So
surely it will.
I don't know. Supercomputers, this is all from the Daily Memphis reporting here that I'm just kind of reading. Supercomputers from Sam Hardiman, like the one XAI is building in South Wales need considerable electricity. It says here, Cordova will have to bear the brunt of the weight.
It doesn't say
of
that.
Course.
But no, it's less than a mile from the TVA's Allen Combined Cycle Plant by car. MLGW did say that there is enough electric capacity on its system and TVAs for the project, adding a caveat that unless it rains, which
or winds.
Forgot about that.
Right. Over
yeah, that's
25
tough.
Miles per hour.
Yeah,
any elements whatsoever, really.
Yeah, if you fart.
A cloud, you know, a bird maybe. It just anything in general. Mm-hmm. We will not be able to power this. What it sounds like is quite the... taking on.
You still need humans to run AI and computers and Skynet, don't you? Yeah, there's going to be some jobs.
I don't know.
There's going to be some jobs.
But like the thought of Elon Musk picking Memphis on a map is, I will say, it's very random. I'm curious as to what the motivation is here, because that's not a place where you would just say, oh, I got to go to Memphis and build my supercomputer. You know, look at that market.
And tax breaks. Paul and the city is.
They promised something.
Got in. You know, cost of living's good here, and so is the cost of building in this case, I would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Probably making it very worth his while to do it here.
I read Elon's whole book. I know a lot about Elon because I've studied him. He was pissed at Texas because it was too expensive. Jason nailed it. It's cheap
cheaper
to do this here. And the taxes, 100%. Low state. Yeah, the state taxes. This is a perfect setup for what he likes.
Now, is there any way we could, we will be able to steal the computers, because that will have to be a concern?
No, they'll lie. They have great security.
They have great security, yes. Like Imperial security or better.
Not in the back. I mean, we will bust them.
Yeah, you might want to. I will say, Elon is a tyrant, though, as far as leading an organization. It comes as no surprise, I'm sure. So if you're going to get a job with Elon, you will have to work.
It's very interesting that something like this would be located in Memphis. I guess that's my far and away biggest takeaway here. Is that, you know, of all the places that you're going to just train your AI, and it's like your startup, and it's like the future of the world, potentially.
Bro, it's cost, though. He can do this cheap. Get that factory cheap. He can get labor.
I mean, let me ask you this. Now, I go back and forth with Elon. I just do. But is there a chance that this could lead to other companies looking at Memphis, and all of a sudden...
Y'all already got Ford.
You got
thousands of people coming here for Ford. What are they putting there? The convenience store already.
Could this be sort of the first step in maybe, you know, some future, a boom, an AI or an industrial boom in the city of Memphis? I'm asking the question. Or is it too early to say?
That's too early, Jim.
I can see that
too
you
early
are.
For those questions.
I feel like you are just, you don't really want to touch the story.
Oh, I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying listening to you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a damn thing about it. I mean, he's the richest man in the world.
And that seems exciting. Start there.
I mean, yeah, it definitely seems exciting and scary, kind of, that the biggest, the smartest, biggest supercomputer is going to be in Memphis. And do we have the capacity to support that? You know,
I'm sure he's getting many tax breaks. I think more people here should have been supplied with Teslas first. There should have been more of an attempt to make this, you know, perks in terms of us allowing you to bring this here.
Right.
Whether Paul is getting a Tesla.
Yeah.
You know, some city council members. Us as media members.
Yeah.
Know he can afford it. And I know I've often pushed back on crossing over to Tesla. But I feel like we're owed that in Memphis.
Do you want to do it now?
A free one.
The supercomputer. Oh, a free one.
Again, we have people here who will break in.
We do.
Does Elon know about City Gear and what they've been through?
I think he's been through that already.
We will bust the whole back wall out, and we will get in there and take that computer. I don't care about your defense systems. And so if you want to keep those folks off of you, right, you want to keep this thing safe?
He will shoot you if you come in. They're going to have guns.
I wonder how many pockets were lined to
He also do, likes the gun laws
this,
in Tennessee.
To do this deal. But it's obviously, in all seriousness, great news for Memphis.
Yeah.
Anytime you got Musk involved in his money.
Yeah.
I'd like to know if I could get my blue check back at least. I worked hard for it. I'm not going to pay for it. Mm. He could at least give that back to us here at 929 or something.
Well, maybe he
will. Because I'm telling you, he's getting the best deal in this.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
You know it.
A guy like that ain't about it if it ain't about the money. And for him, it's going to be about the
There's money. Something in it, no doubt.
That's not, and not to mention, I'm scared of Skynet. I don't trust AI.
Is there a chance that it would make Elon invest in MLGW infrastructure just to, even if it's
just that's
to
a good idea.
His computer running, you know, he's got to ensure that that happens.
Yeah, because we're not going to be able to, the city will have no power for us to keep this thing on.
No doubt. That's like what I'm worried about, really.
Any sort of elements hit us whatsoever, like, we're dead.
Did MLGW throw us to the wolves?
And maybe he'll get tired of that. You know, if it ever really backfires on him, he'll get tired to your point, and then he'll invest in our infrastructure.
What about tree trimmers? Will he supply tree trimmers for us?
I think he's going to invest.
We need much deeper.
Right. We need to bury the vines.
We've said we got to get them underground.
Yeah, maybe we could bury them.
And they have said that that is so expensive, we cannot afford it here in Memphis ever because we're poor. And so he could fix this.
And change the cheese here.
Yeah. Right?
And we should have made that part of the deal.
Absolutely right.
Bury the lines.
Absolutely
Paul maybe negotiated that.
We don't know.
There's only one supercomputer, you're telling me?
I don't know. I don't know. It's
the AIX.
He's building XAI. I mean, it'd be nice if he get it right. He's building an AI supercomputer in Memphis. That's what he's doing.
Hey, has he done it before anywhere else?
No.
It's the first of its kind.
Yes, it's a gigafactory. It's a gigafactory.
Y'all be careful.
When the Daily Memphian asserts that when completed, the facility would join St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and FedEx's headquarters as a pillar of the city and the region's economy. I mean, that again.
You got a big three now.
Right.
Yeah. That's impressive.
You know, as Kendrick said, the big three. It's just big me.
I'm thinking more about Jaron and John Bain. Remember, we still got that big three.
Yeah, no, it's certainly intriguing. It's not a bad thing.
Yeah, are they going to have a basketball gym there?
I mean, again, it depends on how many jobs he's creating. You know, you got to keep people.
Grizzlies play there.
You got to keep people happy. You know, I don't know what a supercomputer does. I don't know I know it trains Grok. Okay, so that's all it is. It's just going to train Grok, or is this where the war starts? Is this where
this is it, bro? Skynet.
Yeah, it's going to start in Memphis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's where all
when
the...
When it takes over, and it doesn't care what we've poured in.
Once AI becomes sentient.
I just saw this on Atlas with J-Lo. Like, the computers take over.
In all seriousness, this is the biggest business story since I've lived here, I think. No? Yes? I've been here 20 years. I can't think of something as big as this. Am I overstating or understating? Or am I just making up stuff?
We were trying to get the Amazon, right? We didn't.
We did not get that.
We were trying to get it. That was a big one.
Failed. This is because in the story that Sam Hardiman wrote for the Daily Memphian, there are three businesses. He mentions FedEx, St. Jude, and this.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's probably up there just because of the person.
Outside of Ford.
Yeah, the person that is doing it is it's the richest man in the world. So,
holy crap. This could be city changing.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to overstate.
I know.
I don't know. Wouldn't that depend on? It would depend on if, A, how many jobs it makes, and then, B, do other sort of visionary companies like this, say, oh, my God, there's something in Memphis. There's a reason Elon is choosing Memphis. We all want to go there now. If that happens, then I think absolutely. If it could be Memphis becomes Austin, Texas. I mean, Austin exploded, you know what I mean?
Yes.
The problem is you move here, you have to do it via vehicle, and vehicles are getting stolen. And so I just don't know if that's going to last.
John.
I mean, it's just a real concern. You know what I mean? I think it's definitely a positive. I mean, it's always a good thing when something decides to come to Memphis as opposed to leaving. There's too much of that going on, you know?
Clever with the commitment to
this. Now, I will say this.
Well done on the tease, yeah.
And I will say this. Let's hope it works. Let's hope it works, bro. Because you don't want, that's going to be embarrassing if Elon chooses Memphis and then we don't have the...
Well,
you know
listen,
what I mean?
There's
we can't
a lot
get
of
it up or...
Oh, we need Viagra for computers?
That's the only thing I worry about now. Is if it doesn't work, if we can't get the thing going...
Well, this dude's failing a lot down in Texas. I don't know if you've seen these launches. It took 5 years of failures before they got a damn shuttle in the air.
Well, their grid is messed up down there, too. I mean, remember the rolling blackouts?
Yes.
And
that's because the state is just jacked up the way they devour energy. TVA, man, could kind of re-energize what they are providing.
Could.
Those jobs.
It definitely could.
I mean, you already got that Ford plant and a Bucky's out there.
Memphis, Tennessee, folks, growing every day. What's next, Jason? What's next for us? What do we need to target next? We got Elon. We got the Ford plant. We got Bucky's coming to, where is it going? Dyersburg?
Yeah, it's on the turnoff over there. It's at that Oakland turn, isn't it?
What do we need? What Galloway? Do we need next?
I don't know. The fourth thing y'all referring to, that's the Blue Oval?
Yeah, the Blue Oval. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
is that technically located?
I think it's, I don't want to speak out of turn.
I mean, can we, or do we
it's
really
not
count
Memphis.
It? It's like
it's
the
West
Daily
Tennessee.
Memphian said. Right. It's
yeah.
not technically
it's
us like
in,
St. Jude and FedEx are.
Well, it's close
Stanton,
enough where Collierville
Tennessee.
Is going to be a source. There will be people living in Collierville, Millington, Arlington that are driving out. It's 4,100 acres out there, John. Jason,
wow.
5,800 employees is what they're estimating for the Blue Oval City.
Okay, yeah, Stanton, Tennessee. I have no idea where that is.
I mean, it's rural. It's out there, like, right. past Fayette.
Yeah, it's West Tennessee.
But you need that kind of land to build
county,
something like that.
It's only a county over. It's not.
Yeah,
I'm
when
sure
you have 6,000 jobs.
Going, but again, it is not put in there
it's
with,
not Memphis
with
Metro.
St. Jude and FedEx
right, right,
for a
exactly.
reason. They're saying
correct.
Big three.
Right, right,
because,
right.
Because, I mean, yes, it's Ford, and it's right outside of
here's
Memphis.
Here's the Blue Oval. $5.6 billion, 5,800 jobs, the most expensive single investment in Tennessee history.
But is Memphis benefiting from it?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Some employees
it has
are.
To. It's yeah. too big.
Right, right. I don't know. That's the interesting piece. But yeah, listen. I think the next thing is all right. Where's our industry coming next? We got Elon. We got the Buc-ee's. We got the international paper. We didn't sell that. They're still here. Mm-hmm. Brazil. You're gonna have to hold off just mm-hmm. for a little bit. FedEx obviously got the NIL. So we just gotta figure out what we want next, because I think the possibilities at this point are clearly endless. So again, I go back and forth.
Anything is possible.
I go back and forth on Elon. Like, I think there's some things he's obviously incredibly smart, and in some ways I think he's very problematic. But the fact that he chose Memphis is definitely a big thing for the city.
Still ruined Twitter.
And
I'm going to hold him accountable. I don't care.
I don't know how you forgive him for that. I mean, it used to be a place where you could have productive conversations and you could, like.
The man shadow banned me for no reason.
Man got shadow banned for no reason. So you know you
it's
ain't getting in.
Innocent as there is out here.
You ain't getting no key card to yeah. the new Electrolux building,
so
bro.
You haven't satisfied me, bro. Not Elon. Not yet.
I think
need to
that's.
See more. Fix the infrastructure here.
He's got.
Pour some of that real money into it.
When Elon puts some money
benefit
into Memphus,
us.
Can we get some NIL? You know, over at the University
yeah.
of Memphis.
Follow Fred's lead.
I mean, that seems that's like a good faith move. Like, just write a $5 million check. Why not? Memphis can get in the Big 12 now. We got Elon. Come on, bro. That should have. I hope Paul Young, the guy, hey, listen, if we allow the tax breaks here, you got to write a $5 to $10 million NIL check and let the world know that you chose Memphis. You know what I'm
that's
saying?
That's right.
So we'll see. But certainly a big day for commerce in Memphis, Tennessee.
Next story.
C.J. Stroud made a recent appearance on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast. John, are you a fan first before we get into what C.J. Stroud said? Familiar with that podcast at all?
Yes.
Good.
Am I a fan of the podcast?
Yes. Million Dollars Worth of Game.
Yeah, I've seen some clips here and there, yeah.
It's pretty good for the most part, and they had a pretty good one with C.J. Stroud on it. He was asked if he'd rather have the career of Aaron Rodgers or Eli Manning. We all know, obviously, Eli Manning's got two Super Bowl rings. Aaron Rodgers got one. Should be more for Aaron Rodgers. And he pointed out that it would be Eli's. I'm not sure. I wonder if you agree with that. Set that to the side. His point went on to say, after what it looked like was, at one point on Aaron Rodgers' side, he went on to say that if Matthew Stafford had the situation in Green Bay for years that Aaron Rodgers did, rather than being in Detroit, where essentially he had nothing. He goes to the Rams, obviously wins a Super Bowl. If he had had that, then Matthew Stafford would have won more titles than Aaron, which then, sort of turned into first a defense of him, then turns into a sort of shot that's gone across the bow here. Now, they play the Jets this season, and I wonder, I love C.J. Stroud. And I love him speaking his mind and everything else. And frankly, I think it's something that, frankly, he was just echoing. I've said before, I'm glad he believes it too, that Aaron Rodgers should have more than one Super Bowl for as great as he claims to be. And a lot of that based, Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. There's no question about it. He owned my Chicago Bears. But one thing I've always thought is he should have more than just the one. The narrative has sort of been, well, Green Bay didn't do anything for him. Can't tell. I mean, some of those defenses were certainly good enough, and Aaron didn't put up the points. I think this was C.J. telling it like it is, but many have taken it as a shot at Aaron Rodgers. Do you believe it is?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's...
He is young. I mean, it's a second-year guy.
I think if you ask C.J. Stroud if it's a shot, I think he'd just tell you, this is just me keeping it a buck. You know, I think it's just me, I feel like Aaron had
slight
all the...
Slight or right. That's what it is.
I think it's definitely right. I don't think it's a slight. I mean, we talk about this. I mean, it's been really the
Yep, that's a slight.
The thing of the entire show, right, is your jihad against Aaron Rodgers not getting it done other than that one year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's been
he's going to regret it.
What's defined us. But, yeah, I mean, Matt Stafford got out of Detroit where it was just a languishing franchise, and his first year he won a Super Bowl. Now, he had Aaron Donald and some other things, but, I mean, yeah, Aaron always had great teams. He had Devontae Adams for all those years. You know, he had weapons up and down.
Detroit did less for Stafford than certainly Green Bay did for Aaron Rodgers.
No question.
Green Bay did plenty for Aaron Rodgers.
Detroit never had a running game. They never had, you know, anything really. They had Calvin Johnson.
What was long held against Green Bay on that Aaron Rodgers argument was that they didn't use first-round picks on receivers, right? Devontae was a second.
Yes,
everything.
Correct.
Doesn't matter. You end up being one of the best ever.
Well, do they
Aaron
use,
was a big
I mean,
part of that.
They don't usually use
They use first-round picks on defense.
Exactly.
And that defense had gotten good enough again to certainly be in a Super Bowl. He had a bunch of chances. A lot of it's San Francisco.
Right. Do me a favor and tell me if Tyreek Hill was a first-round pick for the Kansas City Chiefs. Do me a favor and tell me if, you know, any other receiver besides this year where they traded up into the back half and to drive Xavier Worthy, did they spend first-rounders? Was she Rice a first-rounder?
That dude forges receivers, and they had spent plenty of capital on decent ones. Second round's fine.
That's right. It doesn't matter where you get them. I mean, you just...
Especially when they become greats like Devontae.
Exactly. So, yeah, I have no sympathy, and I think he's right. I think CJ's right. CJ's been on he's just been on a tour here. I mean, he's been, you know, he's been on his demon time.
If you give Matthew Stafford a chance like Aaron Rodgers had, I guarantee you he might have had more rings for sure, Stroud said on the podcast. So he laid it out there pretty good. And if Aaron's taking it as a shot or motivation, which he typically, you know, he has a tendency to do, then maybe, you know, maybe that it'll let out the beast in Aaron. Now, listen. I can, and I have no problem saying it. He should have more than one Super Bowl. I still fear him. And a lot of that is the abuse I took as a Bears fan. But if I'm in the AFC East, man, and they keep him upright, man, I don't care if you're a Bills fan or a Dolphins fan, you better take them seriously. Because let me tell you something, that defense is real. They got a Super Bowl caliber defense. So if they keep Aaron Rodgers upright, like they're going to be there.
Yeah, I agree.
Certainly a playoff team and maybe scratching at the AFC East title. We'll see. Buffalo might take a step back, man, losing Diggs. Now, there's a chance of that.
Oh, I mean, yeah, who they got? I mean,
Miami's probably going to – I mean, again, how good's Miami going to be? The injuries last year really hurt them, particularly on the offensive line, defensive side of the ball. You know, Tua played. But, you know, they crumbled down the stretch. I don't think that division's, you know, picking the Jets in that division is so far-fetched. So I fear the man.
I think it's a good
bet.
And
he looks good.
I think it's a good bet in that division for sure. Because
they're probably third on the books, right?
I think they are, yeah. But it's like, you know, plus 190. I mean, they're all pretty close together. Mm-hmm. But I definitely, if I was going to bet on anybody in that division, it would definitely be them for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, for all the reasons really that you laid out, I'm just not really high on Buffalo.
They had a receiver that I can't think of right now.
They added one. What's his damn name?
To go with Garrett, who's pretty good.
Oh, you mean the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets. I know they beefed up the offensive line. A lot of them old vets, though, so there's no guarantee that's going to hold up, which is the key to it all. But I want to tell you they added one receiver. I could be
Mike Williams.
That's him.
Yep,
that's him.
Big Mike.
Yeah. Now, doesn't play full seasons.
Right, but that's a big target.
But is good typically when he's in there.
Yeah.
Good when he's in there.
Who are the
Plus,
Bills?
You've got Garrett Wilson.
Oh, the Bills drafted Keon Coleman.
Bro, have you seen his press conferences?
Oh, he's great.
I must say.
He's great. I'm rooting for him.
Me too.
But it's a lot to ask. It's a lot to ask coming as a rookie and be basically, I mean, their number one receiver is.
He dropped, man.
Khalil Shakir? I don't know.
Keon at one time was top 10.
Yeah.
Projected and he dropped.
Yeah, they got Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Khalil Shakir, Curtis Samuel, Mac Hollins, Keon Coleman. Like, dude, I guess, I mean, their number one receiver is going to be Kincaid.
Bro, they're going to be throwing to the tight ends down the field.
That's rough.
Josh Allen running, right, possibly fumbling.
Yeah. It'll
have to be a lot of 12, 13, 14-play drives because they've lost the explosiveness, it feels like to me. They lost a lot of explosiveness when you lose a Diggs.
Yeah, he's not –
It's going to be grinded out time.
And the defense isn't good enough, right? I mean,
lost some pieces around the edges as well.
It's going to be a bad year for Buffalo, I think.
I don't know. They proved me wrong. I thought the drop-off was coming last year. It was happening, and then they bounced back and ended up, you know, on top, you know, of that division. If I'm not mistaken, yeah, they end up coming back winning the division. So I've counted them out before. They proved me wrong last year. Could be wrong again. I mean, Josh is a good one.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun year, no doubt. But CJ.
Oh yeah, I mean the Texans. What do you do for an encore? Like that part of that storyline narrative. I can't wait to see.
Yeah, I mean they have a hot young coach. They have absolutely all the pieces that you need.
You already had weapons, and you added a monster one, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's
potentially if he's reinvigorated like he should be.
It's as good as it gets. It's as good as it gets in the NFL. So it'll be fun to watch. And CJ is not. He is not shy of letting everybody know.
I like it.
You know, so great stuff.
Next story.
All right, Brad, we got to get the unsolved mystery theme here because we got to decipher a tweet. We got to decipher a tweet that was sent on X, right? And it was sent by the one and only Davy Jones. David Jones, who of course kept his name in the. Yeah, they have a remix version.
For God's sakes, Unsolved.
Yeah, just got to get the original one. You got to get the original one out there.
Original. I'm not going for the old. The new.
But Thank David you. Jones, of course, kept his name in the NBA draft last week to everybody's surprise.
Elon should have got him some money.
And just a little bit too late, unfortunately. But about an hour ago, David Jones on his Twitter account tweeted three words. And those three words were, the reason why, with a laughing emoji and a shrug emoji. The reason why. It's at 11:21 this morning. Now, we do know that there is a little bit of a language disconnect because English is not his first language. But what is he referring to here? The reason why what, David? The reason why you stayed in the NBA draft? Is that what you mean?
Well, they should add you over Memphis Homicide. You would really get into the bottom of it with your questions.
And then the comments are interesting. Domingo Estevez, who is a Dominican Republic native, says actions speak louder. This is in response to David. Actions speak louder than words, like you done all your life. Keep working hard. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't. So this clearly is in reference to something related to basketball.
Hey, got some. My thing is, you got some, show it.
Show the guarantee.
Show your hand.
Or what is it?
If you're tired of the criticism and everybody saying you shouldn't have done this, and I can understand that you are, show them. Show them why you stayed.
Right.
Show us the promise.
You know, let's
show us the. And again, even if it's not that, and we would understand that, but you know, you can explain yourself. That's how you probably. I don't know. I'll stop short of saying you owe it to Memphis fans, but this is ridiculous. When you know you're this is all about to me. It's an answer to the criticism.
Right.
But what it points to, we don't know. You know, what he's got.
What the reason is.
It could be something his agent said. It could be a promise to be on somebody's summer league team. Maybe it's a two-way deal. You know, who knows? But my thing would be show that. Why not? Why be so, to John's point, the music, why be so mysterious about it?
Right.
Don't understand that.
I mean, because it just sort of
leads to more speculation, which is, again, it doesn't help you.
Yeah. And that's why I just said, you know, everybody should have just, like, painted it all on Monday. He should have just, like, put it all out there, too, right? Like, so you get the sort of.
Well, I mean, can you start to understand Penny's frustration now?
Maybe, oh, yeah.
When he's at that golf tournament, he's coming off this, he's still feeling like the way this dude, if this is. Like, come on, man, be clear with me up front. If it's not going to go down, that's the way you're going to go. Hell, I'm telling people 70-30, we could have been on another guy by now, you know, instead of making me wait last minute, last day, literally. I'm finding out. Of course, it's last minute. You left me here, you know. I've got to alter my plan, so here's a little more. You still not coming? I mean, I can understand being completely dejected by that when you think you have a relationship with a guy and, you know, there's just not a lot of clarity. You're leaving. Let's just have some clarity.
Exactly.
So, you know, again, maybe this is a big part of, we already knew it was, you know, the feelings were probably part of why.
Right.
He felt the way he did, didn't want to talk out there to that media assembled. But
right.
I get it. This is, it's ridiculous.
And it doesn't really matter, right, why David Jones stayed in, I guess.
Yeah, I don't want to sound like some spurn lover either. I mean, the program's always bigger than one guy. You're going to move on.
But yeah, but it's just, it's kind of fascinating, you know? Like,
my whole thing is, if you got it, show it. You're the one guy that didn't come back that was kind of in your position. Caleb exactly. Love, they all went back. Mark Sears went back. All those AP guys, those All-Americans, they went back because of the money. Okay, you didn't. Just show us why.
Right.
That's all. Nobody's prying here.
It's just that simple.
So maybe it ain't there to show, John. Right. And again, that credit to you. You're going out on blind faith, whatever else. Okay, that's a reason. But just provide some clarity to it and take away from the speculation.
Yeah, I don't know if we solved the mystery here, though. So
can't imagine dealing with a guy like this on a day-to-day basis, dude. Like, yeah. What do you want to eat? I don't know.
Mm.
I don't know. You decide. You know what I'm saying? One of those people. My wife does that all the time. You know, I let her be at her night to pick, and then you ask her what she wants. She don't know.
Oh, that happens in our house too.
So you know what I'm saying? I like clarity, directness.
Right.
And so that's what I'm saying, man. With David, a little more of that would be nice.
No doubt.
Is this why Penny was miffed? Do you all think the David thing more than anything? I know I'm speculating, and we're talking about Penny's rough little golf presser he did. This has got to be it, right? Because
yeah.
he was so confident about this.
Yeah, it's definitely this. It's definitely. I mean, it's the most raw and new thing, you know. And you're having to basically answer questions about a roster that you don't even have completed yet. So there's definitely some frustration, understandably so. But yeah, I think the trading back and forth of the you know the subtweets and the bars and stuff like that is where it's like.
My whole thing. I don't know if you saw it, but we talked about this when he did the live on IG. He had his Tigers uniform.
Yes, kind of trolling.
He
yes.
let Memphis fans beg him, practically trolling. Beg him to come back. He laughed all way. He loved it. And so now we get here. You want to play Mr. Mysterious about this? And instead of just being clear about what your intentions exactly. are, nobody's asking you for 2-3 paragraphs on your time in Memphis, how great it was, or some long, drawn-out explanation. But the mysteriousness just adds to the speculation. It's like, bro, what are you doing?
Mm.
We can't understand the decision. What did you have in terms of promise or whatever else? And again, if it's just a leap of blind faith, say that. But I can start. Yes, Brad. I think absolutely this.
Okay.
It's leading my frustration. This guy.
Well, he's frustrated.
He teased you. He teased fans for a while.
Yes.
And it sounds like he kind of teased Penny Hardaway into thinking he was going to return with the stuff that he did. It was ridiculous at this point. So I'd be fine if we don't hear anything more from David Jones. To be honest.
Just let it out. Let's let it all out.
Yeah, I'm feeling Penny's stuff. Don't ask me no questions about sports today.
Really, it was don't ask me any questions about David Jones. That's what he really wanted to
say. I'm starting to feel him, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As opposed to this is, y'all are impeding on my privacy, everything. Like, I get it, man. Guy's frustrated with everything else. He's trying to lay this thing out. He's got his other 7 guys from the portal all signed up, ready to be here, now here for the summer session. And you're the last thing holding on. You keep me on till the end. And then you flip the script on me.
And now it sounds like that one cat staying in Arkansas. And you saw where Hawkins is visiting Louisville today from Illinois.
Oh, I did. Yeah, I did see that. Yeah. He's just going to the highest bidder.
That's his money deal.
Yeah. I mean, Arkansas.
Maybe we get Elon in here and he can get Hawkins for us.
We're leaning on Elon early, you know.
I mean, let's just start with a $2 million check for the kid from Illinois.
But, yeah, you know, that's we need it. We certainly need all the help we can get. But Memphis continues to try to find the replacement for David Jones. David Jones tweeting the reason why. And, look, you're no Robert Stack, Jason, but I think we can sort of put two and two together here as to what this is getting at.
Oh, ask me. No more David Jones talk.
Yeah,
no more question about David Jones.
And, you know, I guess you won't be...
Stop asking me stupid questions.
I feel you.
You won't be happy if he gets drafted.
I'm going to start rooting against this guy.
God, he's going to be the villain in your story.
I'm tired of the teasing that he did about his fans.
He did. He teased everybody.
You're right. He trolled you. He knew the whole time.
You think he knew the whole time?
Yeah. Because all he wanted was a breadcrumb from a team in the league.
And then, of course, he's
a workout. Man got a workout.
Exactly.
I'm gone.
Exactly. Anyway,
bad advice.
That's the latest from David Jones.
Next story.
We talked about LeBron James weighing in with J.J. Redick about how he's so happy for Kyrie. He spent a lot of time thinking about others. I'm so effing happy and so proud to watch him continue his growth. And then it ended right there. I'm so effing mad at the same time that I'm not his running mate anymore. He did say more with J.J. Redick on their podcast. And I thought at the end, he had a nice little Uno reference. John, I don't know when the last time you played Uno was. Nice family game you may want to introduce if you haven't already to your young group. But he said to have a guy like Kyrie Irving as the ultimate wild card, it's like having a draw 4 in your hand every time someone deals you cards in Uno. Do you like that analogy from LeBron?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Maybe at that time he was more of a wild card, not as much now. But yeah, I could see that. I think he's just an awesome player now. It's really not a wild card, or I mean, you know, kind of what you're getting from Kyrie today. Maybe again, you didn't in 2015, and that's why it was so fun. You could just watch him just explode, and that kind of come out of nowhere. I mean, Kyrie hit the biggest shot of LeBron's career.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be clear about that. That three against Golden State to break the tie.
Oh, it's a special place in LeBron's heart.
Yeah, I mean, that's why he was able to win that game. Let's be clear, because that thing was tied at like 89 for like 4 minutes at the end of that game.
Yeah, good memory.
Yeah, and Kyrie broke the seal. So, I mean, without Kyrie, they definitely don't win that series.
Do you play Uno?
No, I don't. I mean, I have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really...
Bring it back.
Yeah, Uno is not really a it's fun.
You know, they have some cards that you can add, like make it a draw 10 and stuff.
Yeah,
makes it a little more fun. We give it Memphis Street rules and everything
like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can add to the fun a little
bit.
The
game I want to play is spades. I want to get back to playing spades. I miss that game.
Let's get you an app. Get you a spades app.
Yeah, but it's not the same.
It's not safe for you to be going around Memphis Homes like you were doing a few years ago.
I wouldn't do that today. You don't know
all these people.
My wife's out of town. And I went to a listener, T's house, and we just got after it all night. Yeah, he was drinking whatever.
John was going to anybody's house who said, come play spades.
You went to a listener's house.
And yeah. I like that T was a good man. But you didn't know that beforehand before you go over
there. We were cool. I mean, I was there all night.
You could get set up anything.
This reminds me of my single days when I was an overnight DJ in Las Vegas doing stuff.
I was basically single. I mean, I was married, but my wife's out of town. So, you know, I felt like a single man without kids and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? I felt like I might as well, I could do whatever the hell I want. You know, again, within reason, respect the marriage. I'm just saying in terms of like my time, you know, I was just like, what the hell else am I going to do?
I get that. Okay. So you didn't have kids. Yeah.
But I popped up at several people's houses that I've never met and played spades. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
South Memphis?
I don't remember where it was. I mean, it was definitely, you know, not.
Where are we going?
I don't remember exactly where it was. So I don't even want to, like. He might be listening, so he might tell me. I don't remember what part of Memphis it was in. It didn't matter. It was just a good time. We were drinking, thinking, you know.
Sound like David Jones, man.
We played spades with
mysterious as hell.
Yeah, there's nothing for me to really like reveal about. Yeah. I went to some apartment buildings before and played spades.
Did you do a drug deal before that you did this?
No. Okay. I've talked about spades on the show before, okay. And I've had people hit me up and say, yo, come play spades, and that's what we do. You know, it's not for money. It's just like basically
a recreational function.
It's like, it's just like the hangout, you know, like let, you know, people are always hanging out playing, you know, so you get a bunch of people together, they play spades, and it's fun.
You get a bunch of family members together, play Uno. That's what I'm telling you, it's safer. And so maybe it's something you want to introduce to.
Yeah, but it's not as competitive as spades, though, is it?
I mean, it's your kids and Sam.
Right.
That's fun.
I don't want to have
in-house fun. It's just
in-house fun. I want to
stop searching for stuff outside your home.
That was 7 years ago.
And the peace inside. You're not that lone soul out
but
there.
But I want
that
blood. Lone wolf I don't anymore. Want to have fun.
You're not the lone wolf anymore, fool.
I know. I'm not. That's why I don't do it anymore. Well, it is
fun in your house. Make the fun.
That's why when I saw Bennett's tweet the other day about his kid saying that when you turn 40, you're going to pass. That's when you look back at that kid and you tell him the truth and you tell him the real. And the real is, let me be 100% clear about something here, son. I died the day you were born. All right?
They're going to resent you.
The fact that you think it's going to take me to 40, I've been dead inside since the day you were born.
I hope you never don't load this onto the podcast.
No, it's just a part of you
sound
dies.
Like you're talking to Drake's kid.
A part of you dies. Is that fair to say? It's just true. When you have kids, a part of you dies.
Yes, I would phrase that it's not about you anymore.
Yeah, and that's
as opposed to a part of you dying when your child is born.
Yeah, it's true.
It's just not about you anymore.
It's like one of my arms rotted off.
It's good, especially for self-centered people like you and I were before we had our families. It's really good for us.
Yeah.
It's what God gives us.
Yeah, no.
To balance us out. Yeah, you sound really invested.
Yeah, no, I got to take my kid there. I got to take my kid here. I got to take it there, here. And then, you know, someday I'm going to, and that's the cruelty of it, right?
Oh, my gosh. When this thing's passing you by here in a couple of years, you're going to sound
100%.
I heard you complaining with Drew this morning about dropping off little baby. little Riley wants to get out on her own. It takes her a little extra minute, and you don't like that.
No, it's like, well,
because it's still on your time.
Efficiency here.
Right, it's still
I mean, I could just help you out.
Bro, she is going to be 17, 18 very soon.
I mean, that's the cruelty of
where did it all go?
You're early in the game, brother.
That's the cruelty of parenthood, because, you know, you don't really even enjoy these moments.
It's going to last for 40 years.
And then you're going to look up in 15 when you don't have to do these things anymore, and you're going to say,
and you wish she was there. You wish she was still getting out of the car, taking a little while.
That thought struck me, bro. That thought struck me.
It's going to hit you faster than you
think.
Probably
like 3% of parenthood, when not parenthood, but paternity leave, when it was the end of the night, and I was cleaning up the living room, and there were shoes everywhere, and there were toys everywhere, and there was everything everywhere. And my first thought, right, my selfish thought was, I cannot believe I have to do this every single day. This is ridiculous. Like, can you not just pick up after yourself? And then I thought about it, and I said, one day, before I even know it, I am not going to have any shoes to pick up. I'm not going to have any shoes in this floor to pick up. They're going to be all put away. I'm going to have nothing else to do.
Yep.
My kid's going to be independent, and there are going to be times where, because it's just, it's part of it when you're a parent, right? You just wish in a day, I wish I had 5 minutes of quiet, right? And then I thought, there's going to be a day not too far from now where I think, I wish I had 5 minutes of commotion.
That's right. I'm so glad you said that. We need to go to break, but before we do, I want to see if this will play over the air.
Okay.
It's advice another father, actually a guy we know, Nesto. He came to one of our things at Tops. A good friend of mine that he sent me recently. I'm going to hope it plays over the air real quick.
Miss Sanity?
Anytime you're getting frustrated with them, just close your eyes and imagine you are 80 years old and you have a time machine that is bringing you right back to this moment. And this is the only moment you will get with them again when they're young. It's awesome. I mean, it's incredible advice.
That's very good advice. Very good advice.
And it totally changes everything. And you're like, oh, yeah, I'll take this all day long. Anytime you're getting frustrated.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what he said. Anytime you're frustrated with them.
So good.
You know, put yourself in old man shoes that only gets to go back one time.
It is. It's good.
And that's all the time that you have.
It
really puts things in perspective.
It does.
And it touched me because I had been through same feelings with CJ. Something, bro, get your socks picked up. He even told you this for 1,000 times.
No doubt.
Like, what are you doing?
Yep.
Frustrated with him. Bro, that advice touched me.
Yeah.
In terms of there'll be a time when you're wishing.
Absolutely.
You know, you had your. Your kids
I already feel it. I already can feel that at times.
Sure.
Like, I'm like, damn, like, you know, there will be it's hard to think of and about, but there will be a day where my kids who are 3 years and 3 months are not in my house under my wing anymore.
Right.
Like, that's it's almost unfathomable to consider that, but I know it's going to come. It's going to happen.
Right.
You know, and like, that's the part where, not that, I don't even know how we got on this, talking about David Jones, because Penny felt betrayed by his son here. I don't know. I don't really know how this.
Well, that was Ashton.
But, you know, they say that, like, you know, you're going to, when your kids leave or whatever, and, you know, you're going to miss those days.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I think what you really miss is when you have kids or a kid or whatever that's young, you have vibrance in your home. They got to be here. They got to be there. We got to do dinner. We got to do this. We got to go there. We got to come back. We got to watch. You know, you have such life. You have such vibrance in your home, right?
Yep.
And there's just something always constantly going on. Like, oh, Riley's having a temper tantrum. Or Dom's awake now. Like, you just constantly have to do something. And there's life in your home vicariously,
right?
Part of it is selfish, I think, because we're getting older.
Well, sure. But then someday there's not. Someday there's not.
Yeah, there's not that kid to go in there.
Gymnastics to go to.
Right.
There's not
it's
the
gone.
Kid waking up. There's
it's
not
gone.
Dinner to be made. There's not. You can legitimately do nothing all day long, and there is nobody around to tell you that you're not doing something. It's just your life now, and so you miss the youth of the kids. But what you really, really miss is not their childhood. It's you miss the vitality of life that was once flowing through your home.
Absolutely.
That has now left your home.
Ugh.
I mean, that's the truth. That is what you miss.
Yeah.
And I could feel that when I was picking up my kids' shoes, because someday I'm not going to have these shoes to pick up.
Because Brad's closer to the end of
absolutely
it
right.
And we absolutely. Are.
I'm getting emotional listening to y'all.
It's the truth.
I mean, I
don't envy that.
So Jake is fixing to get his license where he can drive.
Yep.
And so this is a moment of power. Listen to this. So I've been waiting for this moment because I've been schlepping him everywhere for the last 16 years. A beautiful gift, right? To have the opportunity to have the vital, to your point, all the vitality stuff. When you get towards the end, though, and there's a lot of high school stuff, you're ready for the dismount. Well, here's where I'm going with this. My kid did the most powerful thing in the time I've been with him. He really wants to get his license. He's not like these kids that are stuck to the iPad. He wants that license. He wants the freedom to drive around our city, be careful, whatever, but he's going to do this. So we go out to the driver's thing. Stacy had clicked on the wrong tab, and so they can't get his appointment the day that we've been talking about for four flipping weeks. June 1st. Couldn't do the appointment. They said, you clicked on the wrong thing. My kid's sitting there, and he is about to explode, and he doesn't. And he says, guess today wasn't the day to get the license, was it, Mom? You got to wait another month because can't get the appointment until July 1st.
Wow.
So here we are, still schlepping him. Like this morning, I texted y'all, and I said, I'm not going to be in until 9:30 because I got to bring him to baseball. Point is, now I get a gift of 30 more days.
That's right. You get 30 more days.
You should look at it like that.
It is a gift because and then you immediately start that friggin' worry to what Jeff has gone through three times. I didn't mean to delay your story. Oh,
that's
but
part of it, though.
I'm getting a little weepy listening to you, both of you, because we're in three different stages. We got small, medium, and large here.
John brings that out of us. He brings the emotion.
My neighbor is in his 60s, and he's got two kids, and one of them, his daughter, they lived in Nashville, and now they moved back to Memphis, and they moved back in with him while they sort of look to get, stable and whatever. And I joke with him all the time. I'm like, you're never going to kick her out. You're never going to tell her she's got to get, going. Yeah. You're going to say, yeah, you can stay however long you want, bro. And I get it, man. It's to have the kids under one roof, that's something that,
which is a blessing if you have an adult child that doesn't live with you, because you can kind of hope for them not to be with you. But it's hard now. That's why the joke is that they'll also have the fourth stage when they come back to live with you, which is part of reality now.
I will say, Jason, I do kind of struggle a little bit with, how we sort of, I think, I don't know if it's like this in every society or every nation or whatever, but there is this element of sadness when the kids grow up, right? When the kids leave your house, there's an element of sadness associated with that. But is there any way we can maybe look at it in a different lens, through a different lens, where we did our jobs, if we did
Absolutely.
It right, we grew and raised
right.
a productive member of society, exactly. where of course they're going to become their own people. Of course, isn't that the blessing?
Yes.
Isn't that
you were a success at what you did in terms of parenting. Yes, that's
the blessing.
That's the goal.
Yes.
You don't want to raise
mission accomplished.
Unfortunately, a person that can't take care of themselves.
Absolutely
you
right.
You've got to take care of them.
Absolutely
life.
Right.
The dream is for them to go off on their own and leave the nest.
You don't live with me anymore, but that doesn't that doesn't change my love for you.
There's that. And then, it will be sad. You'll look in the room. He's not there anymore.
Right.
She's not there anymore.
Yep.
But also, you'll have a little bit of your life back, too, to go out and
no
do
doubt.
The things.
And that's true.
In case you're married, maybe remember a few things that you loved about each other that
that's
you
right.
forgot for a while
Very
while you
true.
Were raising a kid.
That's right.
And there's a lot of blessing in that as well in terms of, that's life, bro.
Yeah,
and so you will have succeeded.
Exactly
so
right.
That's the main thing.
So I do think that like there's it's all about how you choose to look at it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think there's probably inevitably just it's the sadness of the realization of all the time that has passed.
Well, I think you realize how fast it was.
Absolutely right.
Oh my cow,
absolutely
these kids
right.
grow fast.
It's like how you look at childhood of your own. I was 16 years old 2 days ago. I feel like and now I'm about
Sometimes
to be 33.
I still feel that way. Yeah.
How did that happen? So it's just I think it's also just the morbidity, I guess, of time passing as well.
You were 16 when we were going to Peace Jam together.
I was. And now
I was like with a minor.
Exactly. You were, yes. Exactly.
I'm glad we weren't drinking or anything.
BBL Grizzy over here.
My goodness.
Anyway, that was interesting. I don't know how we quite got on it, but I appreciate that
again,
we did.
Thank you, David Jones. It'll be the last time we talk about you.
Speaking of the reason why, our kids, right? Our kids are the reason why. We do what we do, no question about it. We'll come back. Norton Hurd, the fourth, is going to join us at 125. We'll talk to him about what he's got going on, Memphis basketball, and more as always. Stick around. Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.